Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Woo! Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is season 2, episode 4 of Sticky Pickles, Stuck in the Middle and a Present Too Far. Maria, you're going to kick us off this week. Tell me about Stuck in the Middle.
Okay, so imagine New York, two young women living it up, having the time of their life, young professionals in their 20s.
Okay.
Like a little bit of living the Sex and the City fantasy, I suppose.
With probably a lot less money.
A lot less money. Very poor living in a really run-down apartment, but having a great time. The hero of our story, Katrina, she's best buddies and roommates with her university friend, Michelle. They graduated together and they said, let's go to New York for our new jobs and live together as roomies. It's going to be awesome. And they've been together for several years as roomies, just roomies. They do everything together. They go out clubbing. They check out the latest hot restaurants with the little money they've got. So Katrina and Michelle go to one of those parties that one goes to in their 20s where there's lots of drinks flowing and lots of new people and a world of opportunity. And at this party, Michelle meets and very quickly falls in the course of this party for this guy named Mike.
Oh, right. Like in the course of the party.
Correct.
By the end of the party, she's swoony for Mike.
Totally, like, pulls Katrina aside into the bathroom, goes, I just met this guy named Mike. He's amazing.
I'm going to marry him.
I'm totally going to marry him. Yes, literally that's what happens. And Katrina meets Mike during the course of the party, and she's like, he's all right. He's kind of an average schlub.
Do you think she has rose-tinted glasses on? Like she's thinking he's way better than he is because she's had a few too many wines?
Clearly that's what's going on, but Katrina's like, I don't get the appeal, but, you know, he doesn't seem like a serial killer. So, and, you know, the heart wants what, it wants. I don't get what Michelle sees in this guy, but okay.
Quick right. Sociopath check. He passes. I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah,
be
like,
fine.
Just you do you, honey.
So you do you. You do you. I love it.
Have fun. They leave the party, and Michelle has Mike's number, and you know, Mike does not come home with them because he's a good guy. But Michelle and Katrina retreat to their apartment, and Michelle gives Katrina the full download on this Mike guy.
Do we get to hear it?
Well, it's like he's a, you know, entry-level scientist at a local lab. He, you know, he comes from a nice family somewhere in the South. Like, he's a quiet guy from a big family. He just, you know, he's got, like, Southern traditional values, you know, in New York, and he's just sort of overwhelmed by the bright lights of the city. Oh, and he's technically not single.
Oh, everything else, okay, just stop there for a second, because I'm thinking, check, right? I'm thinking he sounds like a nice guy. He's maybe a little green around the ears when it comes to urban living, but Michelle can show him the ropes.
Yeah. And he's also really into Michelle. Like, he's super, like, this the love eye, you know, the heart eyes is going both ways. He really is into Michelle. But yeah, he's technically not single.
When you say not single, do you mean girlfriend?
Not married, no, girlfriend. He's so Michelle's like, well, he's in a relationship technically, but he swears to me up, down, and sideways that it's ending because his soon-to-be ex Amanda is leaving him, picking up all her things and moving across the country to San Francisco for a new job. And remember, these gals live in New York, so that's like a 5-hour flight away. She's gone. She's going to San Francisco for a new job. And that means it's Splitsville. Like,
so that sounds great, Katrina, right? She says.
Yeah. So it's like, maybe wait till she's actually gone. But she's like, no, Mike's like, no, we're essentially broken up. And you know, right now, Amanda's living in his apartment because she hasn't moved yet. But she's about to go. And, you know, her things are in boxes. She's going. So he's not single yet, but he's just about to be single. And Michelle's like, I'm so ready for love.
If this conversation happened between you and I, and you were Michelle and I was Katrina, yeah. What would I do is I'd be like, honey, really big red fucking flag. Okay. If it's serious, wait till Amanda leaves.
You and I have some life experience.
Yeah.
These are girls, not has nothing to do with their gender, but like they're in their 20s, like they're mid-20s, and they're like trying not to judge, trying to be free and easy. Yeah. And like, yeah, it comes across as a flag, but like he's about to be single. Like his girlfriend's like about to leave. So it's like they're essentially like they're about to break up. So, you know, it's over. There's no coming back.
Okay.
So Katrina's like, okay, that sounds a little shady. Not going to lie. Sounds a little weird. But Michelle, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you and you guy, Mike. Sounds like that old relationship was not working out because, you know, Amanda and Mike were together for 5 years and she moved up to New York for him. But whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's move on from that. So, you know, Katrina goes, Michelle, you're an awesome person. Who wouldn't want to be with you? Who wouldn't want to date you? You've got, like, you go for it, honey. You have a great time with Mike.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
This all went down in the summer. Fast forward 6 months. It's now Christmas.
They're in their young 20s, these guys. Okay. I have to give my professional, my unprofessional advice very soon. So I have to keep everyone in mind here. We've got four characters.
Yeah.
Katrina and Michelle are friends. And Michelle's now in love with Mike. And Mike is saying Amanda's dumping him.
Yeah. Mike and Amanda are
splitsville.
They're splitting up. Katrina, our protagonist, our wonderful friend, she hasn't seen her buddy, Michelle, her roommate, all this time. Because Michelle basically up and immediately moved
always
in with Mike.
Always happens. You just...
shacking up, right?
Yeah. You lose your friends. Like, you they lose just your friend. Disappear. Yeah.
Yeah. They're hot and heavy, Mike and Michelle. Like, they immediately hit it off. And Katrina's like, well, I now have nobody to hang out with. I don't have a buddy to go to parties with. Like, nobody's in my place when I come home. Like, my roommates, it sucks. You know, a lonely Christmas time. More importantly, she's lost her friend that she's known for years and she thought they were really tight and sucks that this guy kind of got in the middle of it.
Oh, but everyone does it. I suppose it's hard on everybody the first time it happens. But trust me, if it hasn't happened to you yet, listener, it will happen to you. And
it will.
It's not personal.
Oh, it so
it's
will.
Just hormones. It's just lust, right?
It is lust at work. This is very true. But so let's say that Katrina's like bummed, but she's moving on with her life. So it's around Christmas time, and out of the blue, she gets an update. She gets a text from Michelle, bing, on her phone. And Michelle says, big update, Katrina. I know it's crazy, but, you know, there's a reason they call the Christmas time season the cuffing season. Because
cuffing?
Cuffing.
I don't know that expression.
This might be an American thing. Because Michelle and Mike are engaged to get married.
Okay, so they've been together 6 months. They've been living in each other's pockets. And now they're engaged. Okay.
They're engaged to get married. And Michelle's like, we're not getting any younger, so why not? I know it sounds crazy and it sounds really soon, but we've hit it off and like nothing can possibly ever go wrong.
I'm a ripe old age of 22.
Right. Like, you know, I've got plenty of life experience under my belt. This sounds like a really great idea. So I know everyone's going to think this is stupid, but we're engaged and we're so happy.
Yeah. Don't ruin it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Just say it's a great idea. Katrina's like, you know, like, thankfully it's text because Katrina's like, her eyes practically pop out of her head. And Michelle, the text messages keep coming. Michelle says to Katrina, you're my bestie. So of course you were the first person I thought of. Katrina, will you be my maid of honor? Oh, it's such an important deal. And when you're in your 20s, it's such an amazing thing. So
yeah.
Katrina's like, I've always wanted to be a maid of honor in a wedding. Like, this is so cool. So yeah, hell yeah. Hells to the yeah. I want to be your maid of honor, Michelle. I want to support my friend. I'll be there for you.
Okay. Katrina's now shopping for bridesmaids' dresses. Everyone's excited.
Yeah. Katrina's like, I now know I have to pull a to-do list together. So she's heavy into maid of honor mode. Let's fast forward. It's now like the new year.
Okay.
Katrina's on Facebook chatting with her sweet, bubbly, talkative childhood friend, Amy, who I have not talked about yet. But this is a new person. just stick with me on this one. Katrina and Amy, her childhood best friend, have known each other since practically babydom. And Amy, her childhood best friend, also lives in San Francisco.
Okay.
And Katrina's updating Amy on all the New York's going-ons, going, by the way, I'm a maid of honor in a wedding. My friend Michelle asked me to be your maid of honor. Isn't that exciting? Amy, I know you love this stuff, and like, you've been in a gazillion weddings. Give me all your good tips. And Amy's, like, overloading Katrina with all this info. Katrina's like, you know, maybe it'll help me if I send you Michelle's Facebook profile so you can see what she's like and get a sense of her personality. And Katrina sends that Facebook profile over, and suddenly she notices her friend Amy in San Francisco goes dark. No responses, nothing. Like, stops engaging completely. And that's weird.
I think I know what's going to happen. This sounds like a freaking nightmare. Okay.
It's a mess. So Katrina goes, well, you know, that's internet chatting for you. Maybe Amy got interrupted and needed to drop offline, whatever, doesn't matter. We'll catch up later. You know, I've known Amy for like 20 years. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. She just went dark, whatever. She was busy. Yeah.
No biggie. Not going to think too much of it. So next day, Katrina wakes up to an email in her inbox from Amy, her childhood friend, clearly penned in the wee hours of the San Francisco night at like 2 a.m. And Katrina cannot believe her eyes. It's an ultimatum.
Ooh.
From Amy. Yeah. And I know this is going to sound absolutely bizarre, but here's what the email says.
Okay. I'm listening.
Amy writes, Katrina, we can't be friends anymore if you're going to be the maid of honor at that wedding. Mike's ex-girlfriend, Amanda, is a friend of mine from college. She followed Mike to New York and they dated for 5 years. She wanted to get married to Mike, but Mike kept saying, I'll think about it. So he kept stringing her along and she was heartbroken. So eventually she said, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to go move to San Francisco with my friend Amy because I know she supports me. And Mike's not going to put a ring on it. I just can't deal with this anymore. Michelle stole Mike away from Amanda, as far as I'm concerned. She stole him. Mike wouldn't marry Amy. That trollop. So I don't see how you and I can be friends if you support that. So if you want to remain friends, you need to drop out of that wedding. So what would you do?
Oh, wow. There is so much to unpack here.
I know. This is a big old mess.
Okay.
Big mess.
Okay. Number one. I know they're 20, and maybe when you're 20, I'm sure it was true for me, you kind of want friends that reflect your own beliefs and ideologies and ethics and morals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although I think Absolutely. When you're a kid, it does, right? When you're a teen or a tween, you dress alike, you like the same music, you like the
Gotta
same
like
lip gum.
Same music.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same lip balm. I got a strawberry. Me too.
Like, we can like the same band, maybe not the same guys in the band, but it's got to be the same band.
Yeah.
The other band sucks.
Yeah. But then you kind of get more individual and stuff. So I think that certainly now, you know, I have tons of friends who do things that I would never do or don't even condone, but I also love them as people and it doesn't matter because I'm not there. So I'm right now, I'm thinking, thanks, Amy, but you can't tell me that to go or not to go because you have a different view on this than I do. So,
right.
So I have that as first off. But I also get it that if Amy's been picking up the pieces from the other side.
Yeah, to be a fly on the wall there to hear what? That's crazy. The whole thing's just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of people sending ultimatums. That just seems like a dick move. And because how is that ever going to land well? I never you're telling me to do something or else. Yeah, I totally, that ingratiates me to you so much.
You know, like I dated a guy for years and I at one point was thinking, oh, maybe, you know, we'll go down that road one day. I got kicked to the curb.
Yeah.
And then 6 months or a year later, he was getting married and he invited all our mutual friends to his wedding.
Oh, and you?
And me, but I think it was an and you.
Oh. You
know? It's like, oh, like maybe if I don't invite her, it's a real asshole move.
Oh, no.
I don't know. It was super uncomfortable. It was, anyway, one day we'll go through what happened. It was very super uncomfortable. But, you know, if I took that stand, I would have lost all my friends or made them go into a difficult position because they just wanted to go have a fun time at a wedding.
Yeah, because, I mean, Michelle is responsible for her own decisions, and whether or not they were poor decisions is her own business, but, like, Katrina's not responsible for that. I mean, she's not like, you two, don't get into the sack together, I forbid it. I mean, what is she supposed to do? Like, take a crowbar and pull them apart?
Yeah. Maybe he didn't see a future with Amanda, but he saw a future with Michelle, so done.
Done and done. It happens. It's, you know, it sucks, but.
No, but it's hard when it happens. I know. You know, the emotional, you know, we have to all go through that. It's always hard. The first time, too. God.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
Rips your hearts to shreds.
And I'm trying to imagine myself in Amy's position being like, I got to support my friend and be like, I'm going to stand up for her because she's, as you said, like, I'm picking up those pieces and I need to let my friend back home know because I exert some kind of control that, like, she's got to take sides. And I wouldn't ask her to take sides, but, like, I understand the impulse to be like, I need to make a stand for my friend who's been so
badly
wronged.
Yeah, sure. But I don't think that's what friendship's about. I think friendship's about being there for them and listening to them and hanging out with them and making them laugh, right? It's not about trying to control other people's behavior.
that never goes well. I mean,
like, no, it just
you
doesn't.
You can try it, but it will never end well.
It's just like, walk away from that, dudes.
Yeah, don't try to control the people. It doesn't work well. So,
there, word of the wise. Word of the wise.
Yeah, don't try to control people. It don't work. Carole, tell me your sticky pickle, a present too far.
Okay, so it's the holidays. That's that time of year when we exchange gifts with friends, family, and all that. Oh my God, I just thought of a silver lining of this Christmas 2020. We don't have to listen to the same 12 cheery Xmas songs, Christmas songs, every time we trudge to a store.
Have you been whammed yet?
Oh, no, I have not been whammed this year.
I have been whammed so many times. In November.
I kind of love Wham, though.
I do too. I actually really like that song. Oh my gosh, we have that in common.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Some people hate it. I actually really love it. I was a Christmas tree and I heard it, but it was like a cover of it. And I'm like, does this count? Anyway.
Whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever, we love this time of year, but not our friend Shauna. Okay, Shauna dreads this time of year. Now, let me set the scene as to why. And I want to be fascinated to see what you would do in this sticky pickle.
Okay.
Shauna lives on a teeny tiny farm, right? She raises chickens for eggs, grows veggies, the whole lot, right? And she has this, I don't know, medium to large sized house, drafty old thing, right? That came with this little bit of land.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. She has a few outbuildings, you know, and it's not perfect. There's like single pane windows and a roof that's seen better days. But, you know, she just loves it. She's happy. And Shauna has a brother. And Shauna's brother's husband, the story is about him, Cole, is a pretty lovely guy, right? So by all intents and purposes, he teaches art at the local high school, and he also loves to paint in his spare time. So an artist.
Sounds awesome. Yeah, sounds great.
His thing is Bob Ross, right? He just loves
Bob
Ross.
Got good taste. Yeah, who doesn't?
Do you know him, right?
Oh, God, I love Bob Ross. Happy Little Accidents and Happy Trees and... His life philosophy is great.
When did you get introduced to him?
Childhood, sometime in the 80s. And
yeah, so you were young.
WGBH Boston. Oh, yeah. I've known him since childhood. Yep.
Yes, PBS. That's where I got it, too. Yeah. And I mean, he must be what? That must have been 50 years old, those things now, those videos. I was thinking 40 years, 50 years.
I was like, yeah, he broadcast, I think, originally in the 70s. So yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yep. No, don't tell me that. It's old already. Oh, God.
Now, if you don't know, listener, who Bob Ross is, okay, where have you been living? But you can go check it out. He's all over the internet. But it's kind of like these huge, majestic kind of Alaskan scenes, purple skies, big mountains, lonely pines, shimmering lakes, waterfalls, that kind of thing.
And he'll paint it in an hour for you, live on TV.
Not even. I think it's 30 minutes. It's insane.
Yeah,
oh,
that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, he's not a master, but he's a stellar artist and a joy bringer, right?
Yes, joy bringer, indeed.
Anyway, so Shauna loves her brother's husband, now husband, Cole. She remembers the first time she met him, right? It was at one of his local art shows, and she marveled at this ginormous Bob Ross-styled canvas. Like, this one had a massive eagle on it that was swooping down to pluck the salmon out from a stream.
Ooh, majestic eagle.
There were a lot of colors. It was dazzling, like way too dazzling for Shauna, really. But
she was reacting to like the spectacle of it, right? Like, this is just a lot.
Yeah, totally. But she's also thrilled that her brother is dating this creative, amazing guy. You know, he's artistic and, you know, he's a teacher. Like, just like, what a man. And, you know, she just
talented
loves him.
Talented man. Yeah.
She's so happy he's found this amazing guy and she wants him to feel super welcome by the family. So she swoons all over this piece of work.
Being super supportive, right? Like,
the Technicolor Eagle canvas is almost effectively, you know, she's basically drooling saying how much she loves it.
Oh, maybe going a little too far with the praise. I'm guessing. Okay.
And, you know, we can guess that Christmas came and you can guess what she might have got. She didn't get a print of it. No, he decided to give her the original.
Oh, no. Whoops.
I mentioned the painting itself wasn't small, right? It's huge. It's like 7 foot by 5 foot, okay? It's like a big ass canvas.
Yeah, that's, can you imagine them driving up to her farm with like a tiny little car with this thing strapped to the roof with a little ribbon on it? And she's like, am I supposed to know what this is?
It's not even rolled up. It's all, he stretched it on a homemade frame he made, right?
I brought you a
wall. It's like, okay, so what do you do at this stage? Okay, so you get this thing, God. Right? The thing you claim to love, but in your heart, it was a complete, utter lie. So what do you do at this stage?
You've been caught in a lie. Well, like, you've received a painting that you don't adore. You could just shove it in the attic or something, right? Just kind of like, oh, thank you. It's great.
It wouldn't fit in my attic, 7 foot by 5.
Nor would mine, but I'm imagining Shauna's.
Yeah, she has quite a big house. That's true.
Yeah, so she maybe could squirrel it away somewhere, and hopefully he'll just forget that she hasn't maybe hung it up, and I don't know.
So you're basically going, oh, thank you.
I, as long as he's not like, let's find a wall for it right now. No, seriously, let's drop everything and find it right now. I've got the picture hanging nail on the wire. Like, we can do this. Oh, I brought a level too. That was my laser level. Like, I'm totally prepared to help you with this.
He'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you know, are you Shauna? Because she does the same thing. She decides to swoon. But then it turns out that she has to swoon again the next year. Maybe she did it a little less enthusiastically the next year because she got exactly the same size canvas, but with a brand new scene this time, mountains with kind of, you know, in a sunset scene.
Oh, my God. 2 years in a row of this?
And then the next year. And the next year.
3 years in a row? And oh, my God.
She's collected 6 of these things. Okay? She has 6. And every single Christmas since the first time they met and went to his local art show.
Like, at no point, maybe around canvas 3 or 4, did she go, I love you, Cole, but these are big. I'm all set. Thank you. Look, these are wonderful and I appreciate your generosity. I'm running out of space to put these up and I don't want to have to mothball them. So is that too direct?
But
I don't know.
You're clearly not running out of space if your house... Right? That's kind of the problem.
Well, is he measuring the square footage? I mean, isn't that her call?
Also, I think anyone can attest that, you know, if you got yourself into a white lie, like, oh, I really love that on you, and you maybe white lied that thing, and then the person wears it constantly to make you happy, you're in a difficult, that's a sticky pickle in itself that we've all found ourselves in.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So she's now basically lied for 6 years.
That's
and
a long
Christmas
time.
Is around the corner.
Oh, no, she's going to get canvas number 7, isn't she?
Lucky number 7.
Oh, no.
That's what she's worrying about.
Well, see, the best time to talk to Cole about this would have been probably sometime in the summer, because that's when he was probably working on these. So my solution would be to raid his studio and then just stab all the canvases, make giant punctures in them, and be like, it's a sign from God, stop making
these. Set his studio on fire.
Yes.
Happy Christmas.
Just murder Cole and everything's fine. That's going to be my solution from now, is just murder the person that's caused. This is now a true crime podcast.
Well, you know, maybe she does go down your route because, you know, they're on their pre-Christmas Zoom call, right? Mm-hmm. The family Zoom call. When Cole says, Shauna, let me just tell you that this year's present's going to blow you away. It's incredible.
Oh, my God.
And it's awesome. And she, you know, she does. Yeah. What is she? So this is her opportunity, you're saying. To go, Cole, buddy.
Maybe somebody else can appreciate your generosity this year. Or is there some? Oh God, how do you broach that one without sounding like an ass? She should probably talk to her brother first. She should probably talk to her bro.
Yeah.
Talk to your husband because, and like it's coming from a place of love, and I get it. And these are super generous, but I just can't with these giant ass canvases. So maybe that's a bro conversation and then bro handles his own spouse because
not everyone has a really close relationship with their bros, but they seem to. Yeah. Maybe.
If they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they don't or she just wants to be a big girl and put her big girl pants on and deal with it herself. I've been in similar situations and it has sometimes gotten me in really deep, deep shit to be very direct about this, to be like, I can't with these anymore. Can we do something else? Like, I've hit my maximum capacity on X. And I just, I'm like, this is going to hurt their feelings, and I just have to deal with it. Which is,
She instead of putting her big girl pants on, she put on her eeny mini little G string, smiled, and went, "Wee,
no,
thanks, Cole.
Don't do that."
Yes.
No.
And when she gets off the call, right, she gets off the call and she bangs her head repeatedly, you know, on the desk. "Why can't I just tell him I hate Bob Ross? Why can't I just tell him I want something small? Why?"
Oh, man. And
she gets herself a glass of wine and she's thinking, she's just, there's no way out. There's another year. It's another canvas. It's no biggie. What are you going to do? So Christmas Day arrives. And here, brother and Cole have come over for lunch. And of course, all of the Bob Rosses have been lugged out of one of the sheds and leaned on every single surface in her house, as she does every single time they're about to come over.
Jeez.
And they all sit down and they open up a bottle of champagne to toast the holiday. And it's time to swap gifts. And Cole says, "Oh, I'll be right back," right? Which is what he always does, because he runs to the car.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, here we go. But he comes back with like tiny packages.
Oh.
Right? And he says, "Before I give you these, it comes with contingencies," he says. And he says, "Look, I don't know how to break this to you, but your house is just too drafty. I'm worried about them getting damaged, and I have a new studio. I would like to store them in the studio. And you can come see them anytime you like. You can see them anytime you like. They're yours, but if you don't mind, I'll keep them in my studio."
Wow.
"And if you say yes, I'll give you this as a thank you." And hands it over to her.
What's in the gift?
She opens the gift.
Yeah.
And inside is this like watercolor of her. Aww. And her chickens.
Aww.
And it was a picture that she didn't even know was taken. And she can't help it. She starts crying and she says, "This is the bestest Christmas present ever."
Aww. And it's Christmas miracle.
For her, it's like a magic. It's magical, right?
Aww.
But what happened was they had heard her. She'd forgotten she hadn't killed the video call properly when she banged her head against the desk saying that she hated Bob Ross.
Oops.
But they never told her. To this day, Shauna has no idea. She just thinks her wish came true.
Well, she does now. So moral of the story is make sure you hit hang up when you're done with your Zoom call.
Yeah, and then don't yet. Yeah. Oh. And sometimes there's lag time, guys. Trust me. Well, anyway, happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
There you go. That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. And in fact, we are going to take a little holiday of our own.
Yes.
So you will find us back in the new year in early January with episode 5 of season 2 of Sticky Pickles. So be there or be square. And if we made you smile this week, you know what to do. Subscribe and review.
You can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. And you can even email us your Sticky Pickles at hello@stickypickles.com, and we would love to examine your problems. Why did I say it so weird? No, but seriously, we'd love to hear from you. hello@stickypickles.com.
Enjoy your Christmases. 2020 is almost over. Yay!
Thank fuck! Yay! 2021, please don't suck.
This Sticky Pickle episode was created, hosted, and produced by Maria Varmazis and Carol Terrio, inspired by the internet, embellished by us. Boom.